What is love? Simple question, but not so easy to answer for some. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. Today we're going to be talking about love, but maybe from an angle that you don't expect. We're in a series on 1 John. It's a little book in the New Testament, but it's an important one. At the end of the broadcast, I'm going to come back and tell you about a free resource that can help you grasp the concepts within this little letter written by the Apostle John. As for now, we're going to jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to Grace in Focus. We are going through 1 John chapter 3. My name is Sean Lazar, and I'm here with Bob Wilkin. Well, last episode, we went over 1 John 3, 10 to 23. You can break it down into three sections. And what are those three sections, Bob?
Okay, the first one is verses 10b through 15, and that's what love is not, with Cain being the prime example of what love is not when he kills his brother. The second section is verses 16, 17, and 18, and that's what love is. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the prime example of what love is. Then in verses 19 through 23, what love does for the believer.
All right, so we're in the what love is section. Let me read those verses for us. That's 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. All right, so this is very interesting. When we were looking at what love is not, the example was Cain, who murdered his brother Abel. And we see that in the very first chapters of Genesis.
Right.
And now we're going to figure out what love is. And our prime example, not surprisingly, is
the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Sean, the example view of the atonement is what we call heresy. The example view of the atonement is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that as we follow his example, we can earn everlasting life.
Right. I guess some people can turn it into a work salvation thing.
But the example view of sanctification is exactly right.
Right.
Jesus' death on the cross is our example on how to live. A lot of people don't realize that not only is there John 3:16, but there's 1 John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
And they both look at the death of Jesus, but from different angles. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, which is a reference not just to the incarnation, but to the cross,
right,
as verses 14 and 15, which preceded, point out. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So based on what he did on the cross, if we simply believe in him, we have eternal life. But 1 John 3:16 says something different. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. This is also looking at the cross,
right,
but from a different angle. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John's saying he's our example. He's the paradigm.
Right. So if you want to know, I mean, the heart of Christian living kind of in one verse, you might want to highlight 1 John 3:16.
Exactly. You've heard people say, haven't you, Sean, living at the foot of the cross?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, it's not clear what they mean by that, but at the very least, they ought to mean this. They ought
right.
to mean what John is saying in 1 John 3:16, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, John could be talking literally that we may be called upon to die for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But most likely what he's primarily talking about is that we're laying down our lives in terms of I'm giving of my time, I'm giving of my money, I'm giving of my talents to build up the body of Christ.
Right, and he basically says that. He kind of makes this application in verse 17, doesn't he? Let me read that
yes.
again. But whoever has this world's goods... Okay, suddenly now we're talking about the things that we have.
Right.
All right, he's not talking about go out and kill yourself, not, you know...
Right.
He's talking about, okay, now let's talk about our possessions. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? He's arguing from the greater to the lesser, okay?
Yes.
If we're supposed to lay down our life, then shouldn't you also lay down the lesser, which is this world's goods.
Open your pocketbook.
Open
right?
your pocketbook. If you see a real need.
And by the way, this is almost identical to James 2:15-16.
Absolutely.
Where he says, one of you is without daily food and mm-hmm. without sufficient clothing, and one of you says, be filled and be warm, but you don't give them what's needed for the body.
Right.
Yeah, would you read James 2:15-16?
Yes. So if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?
It doesn't profit at all. You see, we should have a profitable faith.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith should be productive and profitable. And John's saying the same thing here in 1 John 3:17. And yes, one way we lay down our lives for the brethren is by giving up our money, our goods, our possessions toward our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that begins at home. And, you know, as the father of three poverty-stricken children, I find that a lot of my time is spent just serving them.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of things that we do, like, for people in every walk of life. Like, even as a boss, I've seen you go out of your way to serve your employees that other bosses would never, ever, ever do for their employees. Because these are neighbors in our life that we're supposed to help and serve.
That's exactly right. We have to have love that extends beyond just our spouse or our children or our immediate family. It has to extend to our brothers and sisters in Christ at our local church, at our work, in our neighborhood, etc. By the way, the word abide jumped up again. Did you see that?
Yeah, it sure did. Verse 17, how does the love of God abide? How are you growing? How is the love of God influencing and permeating your life if you can't even give your hungry brother a sandwich?
Right.
Or whatever?
If Jesus laid down his life for us, therefore, if his love is abiding in me, if his life is abiding in me, therefore, I am going to be loving. I'm going to be laying down my life. If I'm not, I'm not Christ-like.
Right. So what's the limit here? How much are we expected to give? It sounds like, based on verse 16, it might actually cost you everything.
Right. It seems to me there are some limits, but this passage isn't talking about it. If I was going to say what the limits are my ability to obey God's other commands. For example, you'll remember that Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because they had a rule that said if they've made a pledge to give so much money to God, they called it korban,
mm-hmm.
and then their elderly parents needed money, they would say, oh, I can't give to my elderly parents because I've promised this gift to God.
Right.
And he's saying, no, no, you've set up regulations that contradict God's law. So I can't give to, let's say, my local church or a missionary or a needy brother or sister, if it means I can't take care of my elderly parents.
I think this is so true of the Christian life. People think the hard decisions are between right and wrong. I don't think those are the hard decisions are between better and best.
That is so true, Sean. And you know, you have the same thing. Okay, what happens if you really couldn't meet the needs of your wife and kids? Let's say you were giving so much money that your kids literally were going hungry.
Right.
That would be sin on your part.
Right, absolutely.
You can't overgive. Maybe I've said that wrong. A lot of people say you can't give too much. Well, you can give too much if you're giving so much that you're not meeting the needs of your parents and your children and your spouse.
Yeah, you can say maybe the better way to put it is you can give it to the wrong people.
Yes.
You're still giving, but if you're giving to take care of kids halfway across the world while your own children, whom God has given to you to care for, if they're suffering, then you're giving to the wrong person.
That's exactly right. Now, I don't have a problem with the preachers who say, you know, you ought to choose to live in a smaller house than you can afford
right.
so that you can help others. You ought to spend less money than you can afford to help others. Maybe drive used cars instead of brand new cars, or keep your cars for 5 years instead of 3 years. I get all that. In fact, I have a friend who jokes and says, I always drive kingdom cars. Arch always saying my kingdom cars.
I can, yeah, that's right. That's right. He does.
But the thing about it is, I get that part. But we're not going to shortchange our children or our spouse to the point where their health is jeopardized.
Right.
To the point where they're no longer having sufficient clothes or sufficient food.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard preachers say, hey, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Just give, you know, your 10% to me and God's going to give you 10 times as much back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem with that is if by doing that you can't pay your taxes,
right?
Well, you've just violated one of God's commands. If by doing that you can't take care of your kids, you've violated one of God's commands.
Right.
You're assuming that what this preacher says is going to occur, that you're going to get all this coming back.
Right. And by the way, okay, this is kind of speculative, but we've talked about this before, you and I. What do you think about, you know, paying income tax? We live in a form of government where there is a lot of kind of safety nets and welfare and that our taxes kind of pay for. Are we helping? Are we loving our brothers, fellow citizens by paying taxes? I mean,
well, we are to some degree, and I wish we weren't in this situation. I wish it was a situation where the government didn't do all this so that we would be forced to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we are in that situation to some degree, but we can be lulled to sleep that way
mm-hmm.
and think, well, let the government take care of this brother in the local church.
That's right. I hear a lot of people who say, we should support these massive welfare programs because Jesus said to love your brother and sister. Or they might point to a verse like this. But the mistake is Jesus is not envisioning, he doesn't mean do it through a secular welfare state. He's saying, Christian, live, you know, you do this yourself through the local church and elsewhere.
You know, one of the jokes is they call it OPM, other people's money. It's always easier to give other people's money. But notice verse 18, the end of this, what love is. I think this is beautiful. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's also James 2, 12 through 16. He says, don't just say, be filled and be warmed. That's
right.
Loving in word or tongue, but in deed and truth.
Actually do it.
Actually do it.
Just
and
do
so,
it.
Nike Christianity, right?
Right, that's right. I bet John and James talked about it. They must have known each other.
It sure sounds
I'm
like
I'm sure
it.
They talked to each
yeah.
other about this.
Yeah.
I wonder if they both got it from the Lord.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, if you find that this is interesting, please listen to the other episodes in this series. We're going to go through the third part of this section, which is what love does for believers. If you want to go more in-depth into this subject, please buy the book, The Epistles of John by Zane Hodges. You can find it at faithalone.org/store. You can also find it on Amazon and other places. It's a great commentary that's going to take you really deeply into this epistle. Talk to you next time.
Thank you, Bob and Sean. So what is love? It's that we lay down our lives for the brothers. Maybe you want to go deeper on the subject of 1 John. If that's the case, I would highly encourage you to come over to our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, we have all kinds of free resources, but right now we're featuring one called The Epistles of John by Zane Hodges. This little book is free for you to download. You can go to resources, click on free ebooks, and it's right there ready for you. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources like our print magazine, our videos, our podcasts, our blog posts. You can even find upcoming events, possibly in your area of the country. So, join us at faithalone.org. If you've got questions or comments, you can reach us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to look at what love does for believers. So don't miss that exciting episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.